I just would like to welcome my friend Tom Valtierra. He's gonna be joining us and speaking with us this morning. Tom's an excellent guy. I had the pleasure of working together with him at Northwind for some time. And Tom's going to be sharing with us this morning. He's going to be sharing also a bit of his story, just what God has done in his life. So I'm excited to hear what God is just going to share through Tom this morning. So I'm just going to pass it on to Tom, and we'll welcome him. And we're good to go. Okay.
All right. Here you go. You're good to go with the wireless, so you can run around as much as you want.
Oh, okay. Oh my. Hallelujah. Well, good morning, bonjour, and buenos dias. Oh, I don't know this. Who can help me? This, once I pull it up, it won't go down. I just wanted to get it out of the way so it doesn't. Thank you, Justin. Well, amen. Praise God. I'm here with my wife, Dorothy, also with my great-granddaughter. Sophie is here with us. And I'm an enrolled member in the Red Lake Nation of Minnesota. I'm not a Canadian, although I spend more than half my life in Canada traveling as an evangelist all across Canada, and not only that, but also across the United States. And so I'm the Reverend Thomas Valtierra. I've been anointed. Amen. So praise God, amen. I've been in ministry a little bit over 50 years. God called me out of a life of drugs and alcohol when I was a young man. I was a drug addict. I was an alcoholic. When I heard the good news. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you for this outdoor service. Thank you, Lord. It reminds us of many of the services that you had, Lord Jesus, out and about on the Mount of Olives and just by the sea and at different places. And here we are gathered together. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Thank you, Lord, that we can lift up our hearts in praise and worship to you in song. And Lord, we pray for each and every one that's listening, those by live stream. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd minister to every heart and every life in Jesus' name, whether they've been an older Christian or they're brand new baby Christian. Minister, we ask and anoint these lips of clay in Jesus' name. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to talk to you this morning out of Luke chapter 15. It's a parable about the lost sheep. And I title this message, My Seven Lost Sheep. Say, My Seven Lost Sheep. The Bible says in Luke, they drew near unto him, all the publicans and sinners, for to hear him. And the Pharisees and Sadducees murmured, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. You know, I just love this portion of Scripture, like all Scripture. But one thing that I begin to think about as I was praying about this, bringing the message this morning, thank you, staff, for giving me an invitation to tell you about the miracle-working power of God. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just love how it says here that he drew near. There were publicans and sinners came to hear him. You know, and you think about who all was there. You think about maybe later in the book of Luke where Zacchaeus, the little man, climbs up into a tree because the multitudes were gathered around Jesus and he couldn't see him and couldn't hear him. So he climbed up into a tree because he wanted to hear the master speak. The master teach and the master preach. Hallelujah. And then you think earlier about the woman at the well in John chapter 4 who had five husbands, yet none of them were really her husband. And Jesus spoke the truth to her. You know, she didn't get offended. She didn't get hurt. Jesus began to minister to her in love, praise God. And you think about that woman that rejoiced and received what the Lord said. And Scripture says in John chapter 4, she ran. She ran into the city to tell him, come here. Hear the Messiah. Come and hear the one who's told me all things. Her life was changed that day. So was Zacchaeus, and so was the woman at the well. You think about the woman caught in adultery in John chapter 8, and Jesus is writing on the ground, and they want her to be stoned. But Jesus writes on the ground and shows grace and shows mercy and shows forgiveness until the woman, amen, is never stoned, because Jesus looks at the religious leaders and says those without sin cast the first stone. None of them could cast the stone, and they all had to walk away. I think about how God, amen, it says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, I wonder if they heard the scripture earlier, these sinners who drew come to hear Jesus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Come on, church, say amen this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder if they heard that word maybe on an outdoor service, or maybe walking by and Jesus' voice carried. But when they heard that word, for God so loved the world, it must have had an effect on them and touched their hearts, because they came to Jesus. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. Hallelujah. And you're looking at a man here. When I heard them words, I heard them words about forgiveness, about that God loved me. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that God loved me because of the wicked man that I have done. It was in the people that I had hurt. But I was going to find out one day, hallelujah, after sitting in a Bible study in the back, I'm going to find out after months of hearing the word but never receiving Christ, I'm going to find out if God is a God of love, if he's a God of forgiveness, if he's a God of mercy. And that one day in South Minneapolis in Minnesota, I went and knelt down at my bedside, still bound by drugs and still bound by alcohol, and I called upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord saved me instantly. He broke the chains that were over my life instantly, and I had never had to go back to drugs or back to alcohol. Hallelujah. And God put my life back together. I thank God for his goodness and his mercy. Had 7 children. Them are the 7 that I want to talk to you about. Because God is a miracle worker. It says in Acts 16:31, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. 4 sons and 3 daughters. None of my children had ever seen me bound by drugs or alcohol, because 5 of them were not born. And my 2 daughters that were just little, 3 and 1, hallelujah. Never seen an alcohol touch my body or touch my lips or grass, hallelujah. Come on. I thank God that they never seen their dad like that. They all attended church. They were all dedicated to the Lord, baptized in water, but they all went out into the world. They all went into the world on drugs and gangs and robbing and you name it. So this preacher here was brokenhearted along with my wife. But we begin to pray, because there's power in prayer. The Bible says in Psalms 48, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, church, say amen. We begin to pray. 20 years we prayed. 20 years before we begin to see, it looked like nothing was happening them first 19 years. But we begin to pray and continue to pray when there was an altar call, or we prayed at home and we prayed in prayer meeting in groups. There's power in prayer. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and earth is given to him. And for 20 years we pray before God begin to turn their hearts towards him. One by one, hallelujah. One by one, praise God, one would make the altar. My adopted son who came from Vietnam, hallelujah, when they had the baby lift and I raised him since he was 7 years old, praise God. You think about it, he wasn't saved. But one day there was a service like this. And my uncle who was blind in one eye, who was saved, he looks at my son, Shun, and he says, Shun, I believe you want to say, you want to accept the Lord, don't you? You want to go down there and ask the Lord into your life? He says, yes, I do. I need the Lord. I want to get saved. I want the Lord in my life, but I'm scared to go down there alone. Here my feeble uncle said, I'll go down there with you. I'll walk down there with you and pray with you to receive the Lord. Hallelujah. And they walked down. My feeble uncle took him by the hand, and they walked down to that altar and asked the Lord to come into my son's life. Hallelujah, as an adult. You know, God is a miracle worker, but that's where the miracles begin to start, and God began to touch each and every one of them. My second daughter, hallelujah, who was gang-jumped, hallelujah, and stabbed 11 to 16 times, hallelujah. Her lung was punctured, praise God, but she wasn't saved. She didn't know the Lord, but there's power in prayer. I believe God used that, and one day she couldn't take it anymore. One day she couldn't run from the Lord anymore. She couldn't run, and at that kitchen table all by herself, she bowed her head and cried out to the Lord and said, Lord, forgive me. Come into my heart and come into my life. Oh, hallelujah. That's number two. Five to go, praise God. Come on, church. God is a miracle worker. Them are my lost sheep that I had to go after in prayer. You see, for me, heaven will not be heaven if all my children aren't saved. If they're not all safe and into the Lord, it'd be hard to miss one or two of my children being out there in the world. But like I said, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. Hallelujah. It says this poor man cries and the Lord hears him and saves him out of all his trouble. Come on. Hallelujah. You think about the power of prayer. Jesus said, asking, it shall be given. Seeking, you shall find. Knocking, it shall be opened. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there among you whom, if his son asks bread, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will you give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things unto them which ask you, how much more shall your heavenly Father, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? Come on, church, say amen. I'm asking for my children. I got five to go. Oh, God, you've done two, now five. Then my oldest daughter went to prison. Come on, if you're a parent, grandparent or great-grandparent, which I'm all of them, hallelujah. But to sit in a court and have the gavel go down on your oldest daughter and sentence her to 6 years in prison, come on, heartbroken. Where do we go when we're heartbroken? The devil whispered in my ear, go back to drugs. Go back to alcohol. Go back. It's not worth it. See, you lost your daughter. She's going to prison. Come on. For a moment, I entertained that thought. But I got two already that the Lord has saved. So there's nothing impossible for the Lord. He can get a hold of my daughter. Come on. But to make matters worse, we visit my oldest daughter in prison in Minnesota. Make matters worse, my daughter whispers over to me and her mom and says, Dad, I'm going to escape from prison. Don't worry about me. I said, what? Don't say that. Your time is almost up. Don't say that. I can't take it in here anymore. I'm getting out. Come on, church. 3 months later, 3 months later, the FBI surround our house with shotguns, with German Shepherd dogs in the front, in the back, compounding on the door, asking. I'll go to the door, and they ask for my daughter. I said, who are you looking for? I said, she's in prison. No, she's not. What do you mean she's not? I've seen her 3 months ago. Well, she escaped. She escaped. Come on, church. She escaped. I said, how could she escape? We don't know how she escaped, but she escaped. Come on. Now we have to go for prayer even more. Trusting God. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Come on. My 7 lost sheep. But God, amen, 6 months after they found her, one more year was added to her sentence. But it was during that time when some ministry, thank God for the ministry. Thank God for those going up to Martin Falls, because there is a needy people there like everywhere. And there's going to be a church that started in Martin Falls. Come on, church. There's one that's needed there. Hallelujah. People are hungry there. Hallelujah. And the church is going to start there. I don't know who's going to be the pastor, none of that. But God has everything under his control. Come on. But it was through that a ministry team came in, lady ministers, and my old daughter knelt down and gave her life to the Lord. Come on. Come on. Give the Lord a clap offering. Got out. She got out. Started her own business, her own catering business. And she's still a caterer today. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. You see, I'll tell you a joke. I preached all over down in among the Apache in Arizona. And the Apaches are, a lot of them are good singers. So after like 5 days of preaching, a revival or 10, my voice is real hoarse. Like you could tell it's changing. Real hoarse. And so they come to me and they say, you know, we've listened to your preaching. How do you know your voice is like this, and then later on it gets hoarse? That's like a Joe Cocker voice. How do we get that? They thought I just did something to my tongue or something, and it just went that way. I said, brother, if you just go ahead and preach for 5 days straight with all your heart, and you'll have a hoarse voice. And then if you want to cut a record, then cut your CD. Come on. And so my oldest daughter has her own business. All my children are in ministry. 2 of my boys are pastors. 1 in Milwaukee. Hallelujah. 1 in Minnesota. Praise God. Come on, church. That's God. That's the Lord I'm talking about. God orchestrates everything. So my son Jacob, who's the pastor in Milwaukee, we pick up my granddaughter Jasmine, that's his daughter. She's 7 years old. My son is picked up and charged with some charges, and he's in jail. But his brother Daniel, my son now that's doing 40 without parole, he's been down 20 years now. Come on, church. That's why I'm saying we're all made of flesh and blood. When I sat in the court, when the gavel went down, the trial and the sentencing, come on. My babies were all dedicated to the Lord, but they all went the other way. And the devil said he's going to have them and keep them. I said, no, you're not. The devil's a liar. Come on. Hey, man, and so you think about my son, Daniel, rewinding it for a minute. He gets sentenced. He's getting sentenced. But he asks them for a Bible while he's in jail. He asks for a Bible, and he writes his story down. He puts his name in the back where there's nothing, a blank page. And he writes his story. He said, my name is Daniel. He said, I don't blame God. I don't blame my parents. I blame myself. I should have never been with the wrong people at the wrong time. Because two drug dealers were killed. Come on. And one of the girlfriends, she was shot, but she didn't die. Come on. And he tells him what happened. I should have never been there. I should have listened to God and should have listened to my parents. But this is the reason I'm here. So I'm telling you this so that if you read this, if you don't know the Lord, ask the Lord into your life. And if you knew the Lord, come back to the Lord. Come on. So he writes that story down. Daniel gets sentenced. He leaves the Bible. No, there's another guy that gets in. And he finds the Bible and he reads it. He reads his story and he knows my sons. And through that, he accepts the Lord. Come on. While he's in prison, God orchestrated just like this. Do. Come on. He accepts the Lord. And in the meantime, hallelujah, he runs into my son Jacob, who's in another jail, and he's picked up on another charge. Come on. And you think about how good God is. God's orchestrating this all. Even though Daniel messed up, he's using a messed up life to save one, but not only one, but two, his brother. And he said, they meet and he says, do you know Daniel Valtieri? He says, yeah, that's my baby brother. He says, I found his Bible. He wrote his story. Guess what happened? Jacob got saved in jail. Come on. Jacob got saved in jail. Come on, church, give him a clap offering. But his granddaughter, Jasmine, would ride the church with us. With tears in her eyes, she's 7 years old. Grandpa, what's wrong, Jazz? When's my dad going to get saved? Grandpa, when's he going to come to the Lord and start going to church? I said, Jasmine, every time there's prayer, whenever you want, you can come to the front or we can pray for you. You can come at the end or in the middle. Jasmine kept coming to the altar for prayer, and we gather around her and weep before the Lord. That's before Jacob got saved. Come on, that was only about a month after. Then he got saved. Come on, church. Hallelujah. You think about it. The lost sheep that God would save. All of my children are in ministry because of the Lord. Because of his goodness, because of his mercy, because we're not going to give up. This is not the end of the story. Come on. And maybe you in your own story, there's something you're praying about. Maybe it's been 20 years or longer. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Don't give up. But gather with people of faith and trust. And trust the Lord that he's going to, whatever you're believing God to do, he can do. He can do it. And so my youngest daughter came to the Lord. He used Daniel. Daniel was the one that's in prison that would speak life into my youngest daughter and pray for her. And through that, that's how she come to the Lord. So all seven are saved. Living for God. Come on. God is good. Come on, give him a clap offering. And the Lord put this on my heart to share with you. Because maybe there are parents here, or grandparents, or great-grandparents. Come on. I've had seven children. Me and my wife together have 15 grandchildren. And me and my wife together have 8 great-grandchildren. Come on. I know you're probably saying, oh, that guy don't look that old. Come on. And maybe you're praying and believing for a wayward son or a wayward daughter or grandchild.
or granddaughter, whatever it may be. Or maybe you're here. Maybe you're here and you're struggling with addiction. You're struggling with addiction. The Lord loves you, and He can help you overcome your addiction. How can I say that? Because He did it for me. He did it for my children. My son Jacob had to go to AA meetings. He had to work through. It was a process. He worked through. He worked through it. Then through it, he was getting freer and freer and freer. So now he's totally free. And maybe it's something else you're struggling with. Maybe it's the love of a family member. And you need somebody to pray with you. Just to agree together in prayer. There's power in the prayer of agreement. You know why my children are saved? Just Holy Spirit reminded me. My wife and a lady named Sue. My youngest son was going to Christian school. And she dropped him off, and she had asked the pastor, is there any way we can just use a room to pray for an hour for my lost children? He said, well, there's no room available because of they ran a Christian school. But he said, we have a closet, an empty closet. You can go in there and pray. This lady, Sue, and my wife would go in the closet, and they pray for my children for an hour. That's why they're saved. Come on, church. The power of holding hands and agreeing together. Together. Come on. Say amen. And Scripture says here, so if you're here and you don't know the Lord, this is the day to get saved. This is the day to give your life to the Lord. You make no better decision. I'm not ashamed or sad that I gave my life to the Lord some 50-some years ago. And God forgave me all the things I did wrong and how wicked I was and those I robbed and fighting and beating up. Come on, church. Come on, I know none of you. Come on, none of you. You're all angels out there. But you're looking at a wicked man who's been saved by grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You can't work your way. You can't be good enough. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross. His crucifixion, His death, His burial, His ascension to the Father's right hand. That's why He cried out, it's finished. It's finished. I paid the price. It's finished for sin. Hallelujah. My. And Jesus said here, so, you know, this team that's going out and what you're doing what exactly what the great shepherd, the shepherd does, who is Jesus. Come on. It says here in verse 3, then He spoke a parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness, but goes after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on its shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. It's a great time to celebrate. I've had 7 celebrations with 7 lost sheep, my children. Great time to celebrate around a meal and thank God for, man, hallelujah, for His goodness, His mercy. For His love, God is real. Come on, church. God is real. He's a living God. He's a loving God, kind God, gracious God. He is real. He's real in my life. And it's a good, yes, God is good, and it's a good time when somebody comes back to or comes to the Lord to celebrate, to have a good time and say, wow, my. He says here in 7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just persons which have no need of repentance. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven where a man can be saved, or a woman. It's the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift, hallelujah, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. My, come on. The gift, God, thank God for that unspeakable gift. My. And so I encourage you. I want to ask if, where's the musicians? Oh, there, the two of them are looking right at me. I've had my assignment is to try to keep it to 30 minutes or less. That's pretty hard to do, but I think I'm pretty close. Usually it's an hour or 2 hours, but I try to do whatever's been asked to be. And so God loves you. Keep following him. Keep serving him no matter what happens. You know, things happen in our life. You know, praise God for this church, for the ministry, for the staff. If you need prayer, if you need counseling, you know they're there for you. Hallelujah. And sometimes we do need counseling with things that are going on, or just somebody to come alongside. You know, I wouldn't have never made it this far if it wasn't for brothers and sisters in Christ who came alongside. When my mother was ready to pass away, and brothers from way up in Norway House, Manitoba, I was in St. Paul. I don't know how they heard. There was no Facebook back then. There was no phones like now when I traveled in the beginning. It was just pay phones. But they heard about it. Six of them drove down all the way from Norway House, Manitoba to St. Paul. They gathered around me. I wept like a baby. I said, Brother Tom, we love you. We heard your mom's ready to go. We just come to show you our support and our love. Come on, church. We need that. David needed Jonathan. Timothy needed Paul. Paul needed a Barnabas. Mary needed Elizabeth. Come on. Ruth needed Naomi. Esther needed Mordecai. So let's. I'm going to ask if we could bow in prayer. If you're okay with that, then I'm just going to ask you if there's something in your life you need prayer. I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand. Father, I thank you for this, the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for each and every one that is here within the sound of my voice. And Lord, you put on my heart that there are some parents that are praying for that loved one that is not in the fold, not in the flock, for that one who's drifted away, and yet you're believing. Lord, I pray for those who are struggling with addiction. I pray for those, Lord, today who just need someone to come alongside them and just be a hand extended with the love of Christ. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, if there's any of you need prayer, I want you to slip up your hand. I see that hand in the back. Anyone else? All around, all around. You see them hands. You see them hands up. Lord, I pray for each and every one. You see them all, Lord. I lift them all up in prayer with whatever's going on in their heart. Lord, you said this poor man cries, and the Lord hears him and saves him from all his destruction. Hear their cry, hear their prayer, Lord. Meet them right where they're at, right where they're at. Love them, Lord. Help them. Give them, minister to them. Minister to them just the way you know how to minister to them, Lord. And bring them out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set their feet on a rock. Once again on that rock is Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we hide your word in our heart so that we don't sin against you. That your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.